It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. You live it up the wall. Where you get the best sports talk and info in New York.
Hey, relax. All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist. Throw some ground balls. It's more democratic.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Sheeran.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma, and our special guest star today is none other than the New York Post's Kevin Kernan. Mr. Kernan, thank you for joining us today.
Well, it's always good to be off the wall. That's who I am.
Welcome to my world, sir. I'm the mayor of Off the Wallville, and I'm glad to have you as one of my faithful subjects.
It's good to be here.
Hey, it's Subway Series time again. I guess the first thing I have to ask you, covering both teams, the Mets and the Yankees, this is the 15th year now. Do you think, in your opinion, the way you look at things, do you think that this has run its course, or is it still good with the fans?
No, it's great. Fans love it. Breaks up the year. I mean, what do you want? Would you rather have this or three games against the Nats and the Orioles? I mean, come on.
I could take three more against the Red Sox, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. But every year everybody gets wailing and gnashing of teeth for the Subway Series and what a burden it is, and it breaks up the summer. And you know what is it too, Chris? It's a very good sign that summer will be here someday.
A fair point.
I'm still holding out hope that there will be a summer. And, every day rain and stuff like this. But I think the players look forward to it. And I think even like a guy like David Wright, I know he was disappointed, obviously, when he got the MRI back the other day and he found out a stress fracture in his lower back. But one of the things he loves participating in is the Subway Series. And, and hopefully through the years, the Mets will get a little bit more competitive. And it'll have not the same feel, but it'll have that same competitive feel as the Red Sox-Yankee series. Well, because right now it's all Yankees.
Yeah, that's the way I'm going to go next, Kevin. And it's the fact that over 14 years, the Yankees have only lost the season series in interleague play twice. and they've tied a bunch of times. But doesn't it make it that much harder for Met fans? Like, they have to endure the seasons that they've been going through the past couple of years. And then on top of that, they have to face the Yankees, and they haven't been doing that well against the Yankees in interleague play. So doesn't that even make the season harder for Met fans?
Yes, it does, and in a way that's a good thing, because Met fans deserve it harder sometimes because of what they've put up with their franchise. And shows off the wall, this may sound off the wall, but in a lot of ways I think fans are directly responsible for their teams. If fans demand excellence, they will get at least a chance of getting excellence, or a team trying to get excellence. Now, things may not always work out, but if the fans are just go along and kind of happy being fans and don't demand much from their teams, they get what they deserve. I really believe that. And I think Yankee fans really have held themselves to a higher standard than Mets fans through the years. And as a result, they've had the ownership to do it and the players, but they've kind of forced management to go out and make, spend the money and make the moves. Sometimes the moves don't work, like a Rafael Soriano, but at least the management went out and tried to make the move work. And I don't think Mets fans really haven't demanded much of their Mets, and look what they got.
Well, listen, you got to give Terry Collins a huge pat on the back, because if I could paint a picture, make a visual for everyone out there, it's kind of like, because he's dealing with a ton of injuries, it's kind of like he's taken an orange and he's squeezing every last ounce of juice out of that orange. I mean, as we talk right now, they're a game under 500. Did you expect the Mets to be at this point, at this part of the season, especially with all the injuries they've been dealing with?
Well, actually, I picked them for third place, and I was the very first guy who jumped on the Terry Collins bandwagon when nobody was on it. Nobody. Because everybody was saying, oh, he can't deal with players. Look what happened with the Angels. Mm-hmm. Well, I went and visited him in January. That's a great thing about being a reporter. It's there in print. And I wrote a column. First of all, when they hired him, I said it was a great hire. But then I went and actually visited a guy, did my homework, did my legwork, and realized He's a guy who knew he made mistakes, had to change with the times, and he's one of these people, and let me describe this the best way I can. He's got an unbelievable amount of energy. And as a result of having all that energy, he can really battle through all the things he has to do, like visit Carlos Beltran every day in spring training and keep him pumped up and do all the little things that he's had to do. Terry's a great baseball man. I said the Mets would be better because of Terry. And I know I've said on your show in the past, Jerry Manuel was probably the worst manager other than Greg Riddick I've ever seen in Major League Baseball. And now at least you got a manager. And things are happening. I mean, little things are happening. I'm just getting ready to write one of those always exciting earlies that we have to write in newspaper world before the game starts. We have to have a column done. And what team is leading the major leagues in walks? The Mets. You know, that's pretty interesting. And Collins has brought in a system that works a little bit, and he's demanded much of his players. And if a minor leaguer has to come up and play, he demands that he tries to play the team game. And actually, I would go so far as to say the Mets have been playing more of the team game than the Yankees have been playing, although I've seen signs now the last few days that the Yankees are starting to get their acting gear. But Collins has done a fantastic job.
Well, I'll go to the Yankees now before I hand it off to Joe to ask you some questions. But with the injury problems they've been dealing with in their rotation, you didn't expect Bartolo Colon to step in for Phil Hughes and be, you know, Bartolo Colon circa 2005 when he was the Cy Young Award winner. I mean, this guy's just been unbelievable. Case in point, his last start against the Orioles where he goes 8 innings, and I think he topped out at 97 on the gun in the 8th inning in his last strikeout. The guy has just been eye-opening, but they had their share of bad times with their 6-game losing streak, Kevin. I know you could point the finger at certain things, but do you think when all is said and done with this Yankee team, the way it's situated right now, do you think that they could still make a push? And I'm not saying they're out of it by any means. The AL East is just anybody's game right now. I think 4.5 games separates top to bottom. But what I'm trying to ask you is here, it didn't look like in that 6-game losing streak that the Yankees, you know, were going to be, quote unquote, the vintage Yankees and be able to fight through it. They've won 3 in a row now, but do you think with the turmoil and everything that's been going on this year that they're going to be able to put something together and get back into the postseason?
Yes, I do, and I think the turmoil is the best thing that can happen to this team, and I know that sounds crazy too, but the Yankees, and I wrote about it in the Royal Series for 2 of my 3 columns, that series. I didn't like anything I saw about the Yankees. I didn't like their approach. I didn't like the way they were playing. I didn't like the fact that they were getting beat up at home by the Royals and could care less. And they kind of lost their way mentally, and I think part of that was Joe Girardi's insistence that it's just another game, you know, it's a long season, we can't worry about, you know, we're in this together, blah, 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 blah. And after a while, I think the Yankees forgot their way about, you know, we're the Yankees, let's go out and play like the Yankees. And yes, we're getting older. Well, that means we have to do it a little bit differently. And let's make sure we don't take selfish at-bats, which I think a lot of the guys were doing. And by selfish, I mean they were into themselves so much and worrying about their own problems that they weren't doing the things that they needed to do to score runs in those situations. Now, against the Orioles, it all turned around. You had the guys getting hit, standing up for each other, CeCe Sabathia, the Cano stuff. And I know it's the Orioles, and I maintain the Orioles stink, and I didn't jump on that bandwagon either. I don't think they're very good. They got some good young pitching. But other than that, I don't like their offense at all. But I do see some things that at least the Yankees won those games in convincing fashion. So I think the Yankees have come together a little bit as a team because they realize, you know, our GM is getting on our older guys. Management ownership is getting on the older guys. We're in this together. We only got ourselves. So let's go. Let's start taking care of each other. And I think that's what you're seeing to start develop.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Good, Joe.
Just to remind everybody, this is Kevin Kernan from The Post with us here on Off the Wall. Kevin, your Twitter is NYPost_Kernan. You got some great stuff on Twitter, and, of course, your blogs are amazing, and everything that you do, your columns, everything is great for The Post. And it's great to see you more at the stadium this year. The Yankees, right now, like you said, they went to Baltimore and, you know, played a good 2-game series. They've won 3 in a row coming into this series. So, what are you seeing from the offense that you might say, okay, you know, even though it was the Orioles pitching that, you know, didn't look that great, What can you say about the Yankees that's positive coming into this Mets-Yankees Subway Series?
Sure, Joe. First of all, thanks for the Twitter plug, and I want to emphasize that because I think I try to look at Twitter a little differently. I don't make funny jokes like the world's ending tomorrow that aren't funny that most people do on Twitter. I try to look at bigger things and try to put the fan right at the game and see what I'm seeing, little things like when the relief pitcher for the National comes in yesterday. He gets a pop-up behind second base with nobody on. And what does he do? He hustles over to second base to I think his name is Kimball, to hustle over and cover the bag. That showed me something about him. Or when the umpire made the bad call, Phil Cuzzi at first base, again, I pointed out that Cuzzi was the home plate umpire when the Mets got the call at home last year against the Giants that benefited them in San Francisco, and, of course, the Yankee call in the playoffs. Sometimes Cuzzi has a problem of getting too close to the play.
Right.
And that's what I see. And it's not that he's blowing the call. He's blowing the call because he's too close to the play and he's looking at just one thing. So I point a lot of that stuff out on Twitter as we go along. So I encourage people to go to my Twitter account because it's not going to be the same old deal. As for the Yankees, I'm encouraged by, first of all, you know, Granderson has done it more than anybody thought he would do it. I think this guy is really now developed into quite a hitter. Brett Gardner is doing what he's, you know, Kevin Long's been trying to get him to do. He's being a little bit more consistent. A-Rod is the biggest thing, though. And I've said this from day one with A-Rod. I know we've had conversations about this. Sometimes A-Rod, and Kevin Long's been the best thing in the world for A-Rod, but sometimes A-Rod gets to think too much, you know, like everything else he does with his life. Sometimes he thinks too much. Just go out there. You're the biggest, strongest, meanest, scariest hitter in baseball. Don't worry about how, you know, get rid of the flat bat that he had going for a while. Now he angled it up a little bit. Just stay calm at the plate and drive the ball back up through the middle. Wait for the ball to come to you and drive it. And that's what he's doing. To me, that's the biggest thing I've seen. I don't know if it's related to his head or whatever, but that's, to me, if he's doing that and he puts that kind of force in the middle of the Yankees lineup, then all of a sudden Teixeira will start hitting some home runs again like yesterday. Cano will be protected. So those things I like. Jeter's got to make some adjustments because he's clearly not the old Jeter, but he will find a way to survive and do things right if he's not completely done. And that may include a lot of infield hits. So I'm going on record now saying his 3,000th hit is going to be an infield chopper to third. You know, and it's, but in the end, it's the 3,000th hit.
It's a hit.
And that's the bottom line. The Yankees still have plenty of offense. The Bartolo Colon thing, who knows what's going on there? All I know, I got to think, though, with that doctor thing that he went through, that old aging pitcher is lining up out the door to go see this doctor now.
Yeah, they're all getting referrals.
Reason. I don't know how you throw 97 at this age. I don't know how it happens.
And it's, you know, the thing about him, Kevin, is that he's throwing 95 in the first inning, and he's throwing 97 in the seventh inning. He's just getting better as the game goes on.
He looks like the pitcher that, you know, way back when, Expos or whatever, you know, that was the dominant pitcher. So the Yankees can't use that pitching thing as an excuse anymore. And also, let's get this straight, too. Let's congratulate the guy who found Bartolo Colon, who's Tony Pena.
Yeah.
Who I think, and I, every time I see Tony, I make a joke about it, but I think he should be managing somewhere in the majors. He's a great, Tony's a good baseball man, doesn't get the credit he deserves. So this wasn't some scout or this or that, or, you know, Cashman had the good sense to listen to him, but Tony Pena saw him and basically brought him to the Yankees' attention. So credit Tony Pena for this find. So having, and Garcia is basically Leon Hernandez in the American League, and proving my thought too that hitters can never be dumber than today's hitters. They're unbelievably dumb, and he, you know, just keep throwing the ball up there slower, and let them get themselves out. Don't throw strikes. And only the team that really only hurt him was the Red Sox, who have a great approach to hitting. But I think so. The Yankees pitching is better than, you got to say, with the Hughes injury right now and everything, the Yankees pitching is way better than anybody thought it would be.
Absolutely.
So why can't they make some strides here? And I think it'll be a fun series across the board. And, you know, I think the Yankees and the Rays and the Red Sox will be battling it out. And this will be the, you know, this could be the last year they have to battle out because maybe, unless I'm reading the rules wrong, I would think next year, right, if there's another wild card team, it just depends on your record. So maybe all three teams can make it next year.
You're absolutely right, Kevin. Looking at the Yankees' schedule ahead, you know, they play the Blue Jays after the Mets. Then they go on the West Coast. And really, those teams on the West Coast, the Mariners, the Athletics, you know, they have good pitching, the Angels, but really offensively they're all struggling. So this is a stretch where the Yankees could actually go out to the West Coast after the Mets series, get fat, and then come back home for that Red Sox series in a big stretch, a 10-game homestand in the middle of June.
That's a great point, Joe, and I think the West Coast teams are just ridiculously lousy.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't even explain how bad they are. I watch the network all the time. I watch the West Coast games. You know, like the A's, they can't hit.
Most teams can't hit.
It's that simple. And the Yankees still have the weapons and the hitters, and with Long making progress with certain guys, Yankees have that weapon. So, and I think the West Coast is a good time for the Yankees right now because it's almost like let me put this delicately, but if you've been at home too long, you know, when you're used to traveling and your wife gets you a little bit, you know, you got a little bit more honeydews you got to do and stuff like this, going out to the West Coast at this point for the Yankees, I think, will be a good team bonding experience for them as well.
Agreed, Kevin, agreed. Going just a couple more from me on the Mets. Going to the Mets now, R.A. Dickey. You know, last year he had a great year. It was a Cinderella story, him and his comeback. This year, he always seems to have that one inning where he just kind of blows up and that's it. But the Mets really need this guy this year if they want to be successful.
Yeah, I think there's two things going on here. Obviously, he's not sneaking up on anybody anymore. So whatever game plans they have against him are pretty decent, and that one inning he doesn't seem to make the adjustment, and maybe he gets a little too hard-headed, throwing the harder knuckleball. I think he should take more off because I think that's where we are in the era of hitting now, of pitching versus hitting. I think the kids, and I've seen it through my own kids growing up in developmental and the leagues and the travel ball and the good tournaments in Florida and Georgia. Most of these hitters today are diving hitters. Mm-hmm. So if you take a little bit more off them to throw off their timing, that'll be better. And I think also R.A., like anything else, he's been very successful. He's a unique guy, and he's got a lot to talk about, you know, everything from climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, he wants to do to this, to that. He's got like 70 different things in the iron. And sometimes it happens with players. I think they get so interested in doing different things in the avenues and the doors that are open by being a major league ball player that they suddenly kind of get off the main target of what they should be focusing on. It happens to everybody, I think, sometimes. And I think he just needs to focus a little bit better on the game. I think that's why another reason why I think tonight will be a fun night because, he will be focused tonight, and I think he'll make that adjustment. I think it'll be a pretty decent game. So I think I think he can bounce back. If he doesn't do it tonight, I think the Mets have much bigger problems than in that pitching slot.
You know, the Mets really have been fun to watch. This is a team that, you know, there weren't a lot of expectations coming into the season. A lot of things swirling around the Wilpons. And now there's a couple of players on this roster, like Jose Reyes and Carlos Beltran, that, you know, if the Mets don't continue to play the way they're playing, they could be dealt at some point. You know, Carlos Beltran is hitting .277, 8 home runs and 24 RBI at this point in the season. Jose Reyes, .317, you know, all the stolen bases and everything that he brings to the table. If the Mets keep Reyes, they can probably, and if he does sign somewhere else, they can probably get a pick for him, in arbitration with everything. But Beltran, he's a player. If they trade him, they're not going to get anything anyway. So, is there a possibility that we could see a Carlos Beltran in pinstripes? Where, you know, several years back, that's something that he wanted to sign with the Yankees.
Yes, he did, and the Yankees didn't sign him. So I would say, going on what I've seen in the past, the Yankees not reversing course, I would say they don't go after him. But it's an intriguing possibility if they did. I think he'd do very well here. I think he's have enough hitters to be, to be successful. The question is, do the Yankees want to give up something to the Mets? And at this point, I think the Yankees might go in another direction, although I think it would be smart to go after Beltran. I would do it. And as for Reyes, I think the Mets people are going to sit down with his agents and say, well, what are you thinking? And if they're in the same neighborhood, they'll sign him. I don't think they're close to being in the same neighborhood. I think they'll move on. And I just want to throw one scary thought at you because, being with the Yankees. Imagine if I know the Red Sox have the kid coming in, Iglesias at shortstop, and he'll talk about how good he's going to be, blah, blah, blah. But imagine if the Red Sox went out and traded for Jose Reyes. What an offense that would make them. And what a scary proposition that would be for the Yankees, with him getting on base, being knocked in every time by Adrian Gonzalez and things like that.
Who isn't being knocked in by Adrian Gonzalez right now?
Exactly. And
I think I got knocked in last night by Adrian Gonzalez.
Well, I know. He's unbelievable. He's MVP right now in my mind. But if I'm the Red Sox, how can you not go after that kid? And he's in the prime of his career. He'd be perfect for what they want. They could send a young player back and Iglesias back to the Mets if they wanted to go in that direction. And all of a sudden, you could have Iglesias and Tejada maybe up in the middle. Maybe there's pitching. We're not really sure what this new management wants to get yet. You know what they're looking to get. I think right now they're still in the stage of standing back, looking at everything, and going, you know, and figuring it all out come August and things like that. So it's going to be still a very interesting summer in New York with the Yankees and Mets, and I think it officially kicks off tonight.
And the Yankees and Mets, as you just said, Kevin, might get a little bit more dicey if the Mets do pull that deal. That is a scary proposition, as you just brought up. That is very scary for Yankee fans and the Yankees alike to have to deal with Reyes in that Boston Red Sox lineup. Hey, we just want to thank you once again for being off the wall again. A friend of the program, the New York Post's Kevin Kernan. His Twitter is NYPost_Kernan. You have to get on there. Yeah, very, very good stuff on Twitter and with the blogs, as Joe said earlier. We really appreciate you coming on, Kevin.
Thanks, fellas. Always a pleasure, and I'll see you at the yard.
Yes, down the road. That's Kevin Kernan from the New York Post. And, of course, you could check him out on Twitter as well, as we just said. That's going to wrap up the Off the Wall podcast brought to you by DirecTV for this week. Don't just watch TV. DirecTV, call 1-800-DIRECTV. We'll see you next week. Joe Auriemma, Chris Sheeran, right here on YesNetwork.com.